بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسنة المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة البردسبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب شراء الدواب والحمير وإذا اشترى دابة أو جملا وهو عليه هل يكون ذلك قبضا قبل أن ينزل وقال ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعمر بعنيه يعني جملا صعبا. Most respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In our last discourse, we raised some important issues about a fundamental requirement for the validity of a transaction. If a person wishes to sell an item to someone, then the seller must be able to deliver the item to the purchaser. And the purchaser must take possession over the item. The issue is, what is the definition of possession? And what constitutes possession? The Arabic term for possession is qabza. To state a few examples, if I have sold my house to you, in that house I have my furniture, I have my possessions. I have concluded a deal with you. How would you take possession over the house? Or, I have met you in Johannesburg. I've driven my car till Johannesburg. In Johannesburg, I sold you my car. We have concluded a deal. You have paid me for the car and you are now the owner of the car. Would it be permissible for me to drive back that car to Durban? And if so, what is the condition in Sharia? I own a shopping complex. And I've got many long-term tenants, secure tenants in that complex. After a few years, I wish to sell that complex to someone else. How would that purchaser from me of that shopping complex take possession of the shopping complex when the shops of the shopping complex are tied down with a lease with tenants? If a father owns a property, he's got his furniture, he's got his possessions in that property, and he wishes to give that property as a gift to his son. What is the Sharia way of giving possession of that property to the son? And how does the father relinquish rights over that property? What is the Sharia position of registering a purchased property? I purchased a property from you. Is it okay that that property remains on your name whilst I'm the bona fide new owner of that property. And lastly, what is the Sharia concept of ostensible ownership? At times, a person would purchase a property, he doesn't want to take it on his name because of tax-related implications. So in order to avoid taxation on that property because it's on your name, you avoid putting it on your name, you put it on somebody else's name. It's more like a superficial thing. In terms of South African law, you also call it ostensible ownership. What is the Sharia position of that? The hadith that we are about to do is an incident that have taken place between Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purchased an animal, a camel, from Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This incident took place when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from the war of Riqa'. It was in around the 4th year, according to some historians, 5th year or the 7th year after Hijrah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard that there are two tribes, the tribe of Banu Tha'laba and the tribe of Banu Muharib. They planning an attack on Madinatul Munawwara. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided, before they launch an attack on Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should go towards them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepared a group of 400 sahaba and went in the direction of the tribe of Banu Tha'laba, Banu Muharib, but there was no war that had taken place. But in that incident, in that travel, there were few amazing incidents that have taken place. This war, or a proposed war, was called Ghazwa Zatur Riqa'. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala says, the Sahaba had to travel through a very rough terrain. And in the course of the travel, because of the rough terrain, their feet got wounded. So they had to take patches of their clothing or of their sheets, make them into bandages and bandage their feet with that. The word riqa' in Arabic means bandage or a piece of cloth. And most of the Sahaba, their feet was wounded because of the rough terrain and they had to tie their feet up. It was in this incident, in this travel, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning, it was the afternoon time and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to rest under a tree, siesta under a tree. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hanged his sword under a tree and he lied down under a tree. Other sahaba, they had also taken shelter or shade from the other trees nearby. One person by the name of Ghawras happened to pass by and he thought to himself, an ideal opportunity, the sword is hanging and here somebody is lying down, and ideal opportunity to kill the person, referring to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He took the sword, he went on the chest of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the naked sword in his hand, who is now going to protect you? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam focus was on Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Allah will protect me. There was a shiver in the hand of Ghawras. The sword fell off and he was unable to do anything. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then called unto all the sahaba that were around there. They came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him what have transpired. This person Ghawras, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not retaliate. He went back to his nation and he had told his nation the incident. He proclaimed Iman and his entire nation also accepted Iman. And a third incident that had taken place in this travel. At night, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed two sahaba, Hadar Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu to guard at night. So Abbad ibn Bishr and Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought to themselves, they made arrangement among themselves, between themselves, that one would guard, one would sleep. And then the other person would then take a rest, and the person would wake up and the other one would guard. So it is a turn to Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu ta'ala to guard in the beginning portion of the night. So he thought to himself that instead of me just staying awake and guarding, let me engage myself in some ibadat. He stood up for Nafil Salah, and from far an enemy detected him and aimed at him, threw the spear at him. Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu ta'ala was engaged in Salah. The spear struck him, blood came out, and somehow he pulled the spear out of him. He continued with his Salah. The enemy saw that the person is still standing. He aimed for the second time. Abbad did the same thing for the second time, pulled the spear out and continued with his Salah. And then when the third spear struck, Abbad radiallahu thought to himself, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed me as a guard. It shouldn't happen that the purpose is defeated. He quickly completed his Salah. In the meantime, blood oozed out and went to the Sahabi, Hadhrat Ammar ibn Yasir. Ammar ibn Yasir woke up with the warmth of the blood and told to Abbad, why didn't you tell me what had happened? Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu ta'ala told to Ammar ibn Yasir, I was engaged in Nafil Salah and I was reciting a surah of the Quran, making tilawat of the Quran in my Salah, which was most beloved to me than the entire world and its contents. And I found it very difficult to terminate my Salah. Subhanallah. The hadith that we are going to do, the translation is this. An Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma qal, kuntu ma'an nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ghazatin. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala says, I was with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one war. And this refers to the war of Zatul Riqa. فَأَبْتَ أَبِي جَمَلِي وَأَعْيَا. My camel slowed me down and my camel was tired or helpless. فَأَتَى عَلَيَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ فَقَالْ جَابِرْ فَقُلْتُ نَعْمُ. Nabi Kareem Sassam came upon me from behind and he said, is this Jabir? Jabir says, yes, it's me. قَالْ مَا شَانُكْ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what's the matter? قُلْتُ أَبْتَى عَلَيَّ جَمَلِي وَأَعْيَا فَتَخَلَّفْتُ. He says that my camel has slowed me down and my camel has become tired or helpless and so I remained behind of the army. فَنَزَلَ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was riding on an animal. He demounted, descended from the animal. يَحْجُنُهُ بِمِحْجَنَةٍ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam poked the animal of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala with a stick. Summa qal. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Jabir, irkab. Now, continue riding. Farakibtu. Jabir says that I rode on my, continue riding on my camel. Walaqad ra'aytuhu akuffuhu an Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, suddenly I noticed after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam poked the animal, as though there was a fuel injection in that camel, but he said, I saw the camel that I had to restrain it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That camel was going so fast, it was wanting to overtake Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, قال, تزوجته. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jabir is in haste. He wants to go home very quickly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized he's a young person. He probably is married. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you married? Qultu naam, yes, I'm married. Qal, bikran am sayyiban. Did you get married to a woman that was not previously married? Or did you get married to a woman that was previously married? Qultu bal sayyiban. He said, I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I got married to a woman that was previously married. Qal, afala jariyatun tula'ibuha wa tula'ibuk. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, why didn't you get married to a young woman that she would play to you, with you and you would play with her? In other words, that would have got married to a woman that was not previously married, she would be more active with you. Qultu, inna li akhawatin. I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reason for my choice of getting married to such a woman is that I have got many sisters. فَأَحْبَدْتُ أَنْ أَتَزَوَّجَ إِمْرَاةً تَجْمَعُهُنَّ وَتَمْتُشُتُهُنَّ وَتَقُومُ عَلَيْهِنَّ. So, I desired to get married to such a woman that would keep my sisters united, would comb their hair for them and take care for them. قال, أَمَا إِنَّكَ قَادِمْ. Nabi Sahib mentioned, see, when you come to Medina, فَإِذَا قَدِمْتَ فَالْكَيْسِ الْكَيْسِ. When you come to Madinatul Munawwara, then make a careful, intelligent choice. Summa qal. Then Nabi Sahib told him, Atabi'u jamalak? Are you going to sell your camel? Qultu naam. He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I'm selling my camel. Fashtarahu minni bi awqiyatin. Nabi Sahib purchased the camel from me for one awqiyah. One awqiyah is 40 dirhams, 40 silver coins. So the deal was done between him and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, summa qadima Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qabli. It still happened that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara before me, wa qadimtu bil ghadat. And I came in the morning to Madinatul Munawwara. Faji'na ila al masjid. I came to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fawajadtuhu ala babil masjid. I found Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the door of the masjid. Qal, Al-ana qadimta? You have come now? Qultu naam, yes. I have come now only. Qal, fada'a jamalak. Nabi Sahib told him, leave your camel here. Wadkhul, go inside the masjid Nabawi, fasalli rakatain. Go read two rakat salat there. Fadakhaltu, Jabir says, that I entered the masjid, fasallitu, I read two rakat salat. In the meanwhile, فَأَمَرَ بِلَالًا أَيَّزِنَ لِي أُوْقِيَةً. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Bilal to weigh for me the 40 dirhams, the one uqiyah silver coins. فَوَزَنَ لِي بِلَال فَأَرْجَحَ لِي فِي الْمِيزَانِ. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala weighed for me the silver coins and he overweighted the coins for me. فَانْتَلَقْتُ حَتَّى وَلَّيْتُ. And then, after the coins were given to me, I turned my back and I went away. Faqal. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Bilal, Ud'u li Jabir. Call Jabir. Now Jabir radiallahu ta'ala realized the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for him. He heard it also. Qultu. Al-an yaruddu alayya al-jamal walam yakun shay'un abghaza ilayya minhu. He says, I know, knowing the character and the conduct of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to return my camel to me, and there wasn't anything more resented to me than that. The fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bought the camel, paid for it, and on top of that, he's still giving me my camel. That means I got the camel and the money. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Jabir, khuz jamalak wa laka thamanu. Take your camel and also the money for you. So this was like a bonus for Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. From this hadith, before we proceed with answering all those questions that we raised in the beginning, but three important lessons we understand in this hadith. The first lesson, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khatam al-Anbiya wa Rusul, holding such a high, lofty position, all the Sahaba were there to serve Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always maintained humbleness and humility, and he lived a simple life. Although he was outstanding, but he didn't make himself outstanding. He lived among the Sahaba. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is traveling with the Sahaba. He sees one Sahabi having difficulty in travel. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stops and assists him. It is as though, like, somebody has to get stuck with his car. You have to come out from the car and you have to push the car. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually pushed Jabir radiallahu ta'ala and helped him and assisted him. There is a saying, and some of them alluded to it as a hadith, Sayyidul Qawm Khadimuhum. The leader of a nation is a person that serves the nation. Sign of leadership is that you don't sit in the ivory tower and you give instructions, but you stay among the people and you help and you assist the people. Our concept is we command respect, we don't demand respect. And this is the lesson that we learn from this hadith. The second lesson we learn, Nabi Jabir radiallahu ta'ala was very close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, his father Abdullah also a Sahabi, he passed away in the Battle of Uhud. He became a Shaheed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even made arrangement for the paying out of the loans of Abdullah. There was a very close bond between Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala gets married in Madinatul Munawwara, and the Rasul of Allah does not even know that Jabir is married. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from this war, there were some signs on him that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought that probably is married, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him about this. We understand from this that marriage is also a simple affair. Among the Sahaba, somebody found a woman, they got married, they didn't find it necessary to inform Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at times, we trespass limits, incur undue expenses, invite guests from far and wide just to perform the nikah. If the person is around, somebody nearby, that is understood. But to trespass the limits, that will be against the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. Third lesson we learn from this hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood Jabir radiallahu ta'ala to be having great responsibilities, maintaining six sisters. There were nine sisters, three were married, six were unmarried. As a son, he had to pay out the debt of his father. As a son, he has to take care and maintain his sisters. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam understood the financial responsibility on Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So one way was for the person to ask for a financial help. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam maintained the dignity and honor of a Sahabi. Nabi Sallam looked for excuses to help him and assist him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then offered to purchase his camel, but in the mind of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, I'll buy the camel, I'll give him the money and give the camel back to him. And that is how Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam helped and assisted Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is also a great sunnah. So when you know somebody is in need, don't wait for him to come and ask you. You know he's in genuine need, go forward, help and assist the person and empower the person. Now reverting to the questions that we have raised in the beginning. First and foremost, what is the definition of possession? Qabza. Possession is simply defined as takhliya. Takhliya would mean that somebody had purchased an item from you and you keep the person, make the person free to take possession of the item. You remove all barriers, all obstacles, and the person is free to take possession of that item. That is the definition of possession in Sharia, where it's either you physically take the item, or if you don't physically take the item is there for you to take it, and there's no obstacles, no barriers for you to take that item. If I had sold you my house, I concluded a deal with you, I have my furniture, I have my possession in the house. Now, how are you going to take possession of the house? In principle, you cannot take possession of the house, although I've sold the house to you, because my items, my possessions are in the house. Yes, if I remove all my possession from the house, my furniture from the house, oh, I sold you the house with the furniture, then you can take possession of the house, I give you the key, and there's all indications for you to take possession of the house and start staying in the house, then that will be a valid possession. But if my possessions are in the house, I only sold you the house, not the furniture, and my belongings are also in the house. Now if for some reason I still want you to take possession of the house with my items in the house, the way to do it, the alternative to that would be that I would first tell to you that my furniture is in the house, my belongings are in the house, and I am entrusting it to you. Give it to you as wadiyat in your trust. After it has come into your trust, it belongs to me, but in your trust, now I give you possession of the house, and in that way, that will be a valid possession in Sharia. As far as the incident of the motor vehicle is concerned, I sold you the motor vehicle, I conclude that deal with you in Johannesburg, the car belongs to you. Same, like here, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purchased the camel from Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala had to travel to Madinatul Munawwara. How is he going to travel? According to one narration, we understand, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he demounted from his animal, he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is your camel. Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, okay, you may ride it and go to Madinatul Munawwara. So if a person happened to sell his vehicle in Johannesburg, you took possession of the vehicle, and then you then permit me to drive my vehicle or my previous vehicle to Durban, that would be permissible. But without me taking possession, without you taking possession, or without taking permission from you, I cannot drive the vehicle to Durban. If I happen to lease out a property to someone, I've got existing tenants there, and now I sell that property to someone. Now, in principle, if that property that is tied up in a lease with someone else, that means that I cannot give possession of that property to the purchaser. The purchaser purchased it. Now, how am I going to give possession to him because it is tied out in a lease? The alternative to that would be when you draw up the lease to the person, the lessee could tell, put a condition in the agreement that if you sell, you will not sell the property, or if you sell it, then you only sell it to that person who would honor the lease with me as well. Then that is the alternative to overcome this difficulty. The seventh question about registering a property. It's not a requirement in Sharia, but we from the many experiences and many mediation and arbitration that we have attended to, we notice that a person purchases a property, he doesn't take it on his name. He may be have physical possession over it, he has complete control over it, but at times death takes place and the property is still on somebody else's name. Then you will always have opportunists. The seller, he still has the property on his name, whereas the purchaser is the actual owner. He paid for it and he's also taken possession of it, but because it's on the name of the seller, they would now claim inheritance. It leads to a lot of disputes and a lot of complications. The fundamental principle of Sharia is وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Do not dispute. And the ulama mentioned that if there is an actual dispute or there is a potential for a dispute, anything that may lead to a dispute or a potential dispute, all that is prohibited, and we have to do whatever it takes to overcome, to avoid that kind of dispute. If not registering the property on your name would lead to a dispute or a potential dispute, then the ulama mentioned it's wajib now to register the property on your name to avoid all kind of disputes. And the last one, ostensible ownership. We understand for taxation purposes, people happen to put the property on other people's names just to avoid taxation. And if one has to do that, again, to avoid all kind of disputes, avoid all kind of complications, it is advisable to have a private document between yourself and the person on whose name the property has been assigned or on whose name the property has been registered. For that, you require some legal advice where to ensure the document is written in such a way where at least you, or if you have to pass away, then your heirs can claim ownership over the property. These are some of the issues pertaining to qabza and laws pertaining to possession in Sharia. We make dua, Allah tabaraka ta'ala tawfiq and hidayah to understand all these laws and to also implement it in our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Next week, we will not be having this discourse, inshallah. I understand Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahib Damal Barakatuh will be here and he'll be conducting discourse in this masjid, inshallah. So we will continue the week after that. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.